The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Well, now it's time for our Friday Forum, and joining us this week, Fine Gael TD for Galway East, Kieran Cannon, Don Leary, People Before Profit TD, Richard Boyd Barrett, and Louise O'Reilly, Sinn Féin TD for Dublin Fingal. And we want to talk about the reopening confusion, the ongoing mica crisis, and much more that happened this week. Good morning and welcome to one and all. Louise, I'll go to you first of all. The question of the reopening of nightclubs, I mean, it's happening. How do you feel about it? Would you feel safe?
Well, Pat, I suppose maybe a lot like yourself, my days of going to nightclubs are a little bit behind me. What I do know is that people in the industry are dying to get back. You can know that from talking to them. They're saying, give us a chance, let us try, you know, give us the guidelines and let us try and implement them. And, you know, I think they're willing to do that. I think they're willing to put their shoulders to the wheel and really make an effort in this regard. I don't know how some of it's going to work. I mean, I know Aunt Taoiseach said that the things that happen in nightclubs will still continue to happen in nightclubs, and we all know what that means. But in the context of social distancing at a bar in a nightclub, I don't know how that's gonna work. And I do, my heart goes out to the workers who are going to be trying to enforce it, because it's all very well at the start of the evening, but you know yourself at the end of the evening. So I think, you know, people are going to have to be sensible. They're going to have to listen to the staff. They're going to have to respect the fact that, yes, nightclubs are places of entertainment, but they're also places of work, and people have a right to have a safe workplace. I think it's going to be challenging for them, but I do know from talking to people in the industry, they have been waiting on this. They're closed for nearly 600 days. You know, they want to get back open. They want to be able to start working again. And I think it's a case maybe of wait and see a little bit. The guidelines were vague. There was a lot of lastminute.com, as is the hallmark of this government. I think that was regrettable, because, you know, up until late yesterday evening, the guidelines still weren't clear, and I think some of it still isn't even clear at this stage. But yeah, I do think, you know, that people want this. They want a chance to make it work.
You know, the rules are quite simple, that when you're going in, you queue up outside and you wear a mask and you socially distance from the people in front and behind. And, you know, if there's not too much drink taken, that's probably organisable. And you've got the bouncers who will keep an eye on the queue. That bit's good. You go in and you keep your mask on. But if you want to dance, you can take your mask off. If you want to eat or drink, you take your mask off. If you're going for a drink, you have to walk up to the bar with your mask on, a queue, get your drink, and then repair to wherever you've established yourself. Mm-hmm. Then you take off your mask to drink. If you want to dance, you go out on the dance floor and you take your mask off. You want to go to the loo, you put your mask on, go to the loo, keep it on while you're in the loo, and so on and so forth. It's asking a lot of people, sort of, especially when the few jars have been taken. We don't even mention the snogging. I mean, you're not expected to snog through the mask, are you? So, Richard Boyd Barrett, what do you make of it all?
Look, it's difficult. But I think that for a sector that was closed down for so long, that right from the beginning, when we have such high levels of vaccination, when other sectors are reopening, I think that the music entertainment sector deserves a chance. And I think they have been pretty responsible and willing to engage with the government, with the health authorities, and, you know, have emphasised their willingness to be careful and to try and organise things in a way that works. So I do think they deserve the chance. It doesn't sound to me like it's going to be the way it was before, but... You know, I think there's goodwill out there from the public and from the people working in the sector to try and make it work. So I think it's reasonable to give them a chance.
Like, we can all understand how desperate they are to get back to work. I mean, we may think of nightclubbing as a discretionary activity, something that we could do without, as we have done without it. But there are people who work in that sector who desperately need to get their incomes going again. And, you know, you feel for anyone over the period who's lost out in this way. But Kieran Cannon, on the face of it, you know, if you're out on the dance floor, you're huffing and puffing. If you're drinking with your pals around a table, you know, if someone's got this Delta variant, you're likely to catch it too, aren't you? I mean, that's the reality.
By being in that kind of close quarters and in circulating with other people, yes, you're more likely to catch it. But I do think we've reached a point in our management of the pandemic where we really have to give this sector a chance. They've been exceptionally responsible in the past. We are now at a level of protection that we've never seen before. You know, 9 out of every 10 people are now fully vaccinated. Our hospitalization rate.
Hang on. I can't say that. 92% of adults are vaccinated.
Of those who might be attending nightclubs.
Sure. No, but I'm just making the point. There is a million people out there who are under 12 who are not vaccinated. Do you know what I mean? There is the potential of infection still walking around. That's the only point I would make.
But we're making specific reference to congregating in nightclubs and the kind of protection that can be afforded to people there. That protection ultimately is up to the people who operate those facilities. And I'm delighted to see, as well as our nightclubs opening, we now have the opportunity for live gigs returning as well, fully standing or seated, whichever the venue chooses to operate, or a combination of both. I think that's a very significant concession to an industry that has seen itself essentially shut down for almost 600 days now. So I do think this is, and for every step of the journey, Pat, in the management of the pandemic, this has always been about balancing public health obligations, very significant public health obligations, and somehow, if at all possible, in allowing our economy to return to something resembling normal. No. It's been a knife edge, as you know, for every step of the journey.
Sure.
And
now, yes, the Taoiseach said the other night,
but I think on the balance of probability, we're doing the right thing here.
Well, the Taoiseach the other night said there were three ways to go. There's the easy way, shut everything down, which punishes everybody and is really hard times for one and all. There's open up everything, which is the UK philosophy, and that's not looking great for them at the moment. And then there's the middle way, which is, as he said, going to be stricken with lots of anomalies because it's all grey area, really. At what point will you decide, Kieran, as a government, you're in the government parties, obviously, that it's a success? Because the problem will be that if there's any element of this that's causing spread, we've opened the schools, we see infections in schools, we're going to have full houses in stadiums at sporting events, and we're going to have nightclubs open and bars and all the rest of it. It'll be very hard to detect which bit is causing a problem if there is a problem. Kieran.
It will to a certain extent, but you know, if we manage to maintain our very extensive and I would argue very successful contact tracing facilities and mechanisms we've been employing to date, it is possible to a certain extent to identify where the majority of additional infections are coming from. But you know, every single step of the way we've been imploring people, and they've been acting really responsibly as citizens, to you know, take all of the individual prevention measures. And you know, it's as important right now, you know, nearly 2 years into this, to do the things that were considered really unusual at the time.
One third of the hospitality establishments, Kieran, were not asking for COVID certs. So, you know, not everyone. And one third is a significant. It's not 5%, it's not 10%, it's 33 1/3% of people not doing what was asked of them.
Go on. That's a challenge, Pat, but the question is now from that sector. And, you know, they've been very, very strong and rightly so in lobbying for the reopening that's happening tonight. But they also need to acknowledge they now have a significant role to play in ensuring that we don't return to a point where we're seriously reconsidering reimposition of these restrictions again. And I think, to be honest, they're going to take that to heart. I really do, from speaking to people I've been speaking to over the last 24 hours.
They would say that anyway. Louise, the question of antigen testing, you know, it is democratic. Kingston Mills saying last night, he said it before on this programme, like, there are people who are complaining they can't be vaccinated for health reasons. You know, but if you've got antigen testing that's run by the state, that's reliably done, then it's utterly democratic. If you pass the antigen test, you can go into the gig.
And I think that's fair enough, because there are people who genuinely can't receive the vaccine for one reason or another, mostly medical reasons. But just to pick up on a point there, Pat, if I might, the government and Minister Catherine Martin in particular ran a series of what she called test events and pilot events. Now, for me, the massive regret is that these weren't test events or pilot events at all. They were just events. So there was no follow up done. There was no there was nobody filling out a form before they went in, filling out a form afterwards. There was no surveillance using antigen or PCR testing afterwards, just to assess the extent to which these events actually worked and where the issues were. I think that was a really massively missed opportunity. I think Minister Catherine Martin dropped the ball on that. She was great for the running up to the microphone to make the announcement, and then there was no follow-up. I mean, what's the point of a pilot event or a test event if you don't do an evaluation, a formal evaluation? And I know from talking to people organising sporting events, they were told, you're having a test event now. They were waiting on protocols. Instead, it was just an event with reduced numbers. I think we missed an opportunity there. I think Catherine Martin actually dropped the ball on this. I think that's very regrettable, and I do hope that we will have that type of surveillance, and antigen testing actually is part of that. But I think if we're talking about opening up, we need to be talking about making sure that those people who are not contagious and those people who don't have the virus also have an option to access society as we begin
but,
the process.
But that
of
does
reopening.
Mean an antigen test that is conducted by, if you like, the authorities rather than something that you do yourself. I mean, I've done antigen tests myself for my own reassurance, but, you know, they don't have any power or persuasiveness in law. Richard, what do you think of the idea of, you know, belt and braces, antigen tests and COVID certs, or either or if you can't be vaccinated?
Yeah, I mean, I do think we can't have a two-tier society, I think. I mean, people have, in overwhelming numbers, taken up the vaccine. I think they were absolutely right to do so, and I would still strongly encourage people who have not done so to take up the vaccine even now, because I think it has proved that it is protecting us. But I think we also have to accommodate those who, for medical reasons or because they've had, some people have had bad experiences with vaccination reactions before. You know, there are legitimate reasons why people may not have had a vaccine. And I think we have to find ways to accommodate them, but at the same time to protect public health. And antigen testing, it seems to me, we have not done enough to explore its potential. And I think, if we're going to move forward for here and not back, there's a lot of other things we have to do in terms of, you know, trying to create the infrastructure that will allow society to resume. I mean, these HEPA filters, for example, in terms of ventilation and filtering the air, I think we really have to, you know, look at those things and supporting venues to use them. Obviously, in our schools, we need to do everything that is necessary. And of course, most obviously, when you look at the situation in our health service, we are so far short of creating the additional capacity in our health service, in ICU, hospital bed capacity generally, staffing levels, and public health teams at a local level to do the tracking and tracing that would be necessary to actually try and manage outbreaks when they occur. So there has to be a lot of work, a lot of investment, and exploring the potential of technology and science to help us deal with this situation.
All right. Louise, I wanted to ask you something specific, because I know your area of interest back in the day when you were a trade union official was for healthcare workers, and the news that so many of them are off work for COVID-related reasons. It could be they were a close contact of maybe a school child at home, or it could be something to do with their place of work. It's a bit disturbing that healthcare workers whose vaccines are now waning are not getting the boosters and getting them ASAP.
It's very disturbing. And funnily enough, I was actually on with your colleague, Andrea Gilligan, with a representative from one of the government parties who gave the very definite impression that this was happening, that they were going to be prioritised. And she then walked back and said, oh, no, she said, I'd like to see them prioritised. So the Minister for Health has said he'd like to see them prioritised as well. So I don't know where stands the prioritisation of our frontline workers. I do know, though, Pat, that we're doing them a grave disservice if all the government's prepared to do is stand in the dole and give them a round of applause. You know, with 1,800 plus workers off at the moment, that to me should be a flashing blue light signal. If you'll forgive the pun there, for the emergency to kick in at the level of the government. And I think they should be asking NIAC to proactively look at this. If you remember, back at the start of the vaccination programme, there were a number of anomalies in terms of the categories and the groups that came out. But I think we were all in agreement, and the government as well, that we should prioritise those frontline workers, those people who are going to be working in our already overstretched health service. So, I mean, you'll recall past 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago, you and I having conversations about the trolley count, about the excessive waiting lists. We went into a health crisis in the midst of a health crisis, and the people who are holding it all together, I think, do deserve to be prioritised when it comes to protection from this virus.
Kieran Cannon, I want to ask you about an anomaly, one of the many anomalies. And this is something that has interested our listeners, that while you're doing all the COVID cert checking and so on, by way of, not allowing people into certain venues, the door has been left open for unvaccinated people being allowed to book into hotels. Why was that, do you know?
I don't know, Pat. I suspect
they didn't close that loophole. It is a loophole.
One would suspect that if you're in a hotel, you're not, at least you have the choice of not congregating in large crowds.
You're in the breakfast room and you're indoors, and there's a full breakfast room, and, people who are unvaccinated, untested, nothing, are sitting beside you. What's safe about that?
That's a very good question, Pat. A lot of these anomalies have arisen. There's no doubt about that. A lot of them are resolved this week. And I'm sure many more will be resolved in the coming days. Bear in mind that up to probably last Wednesday or Thursday, all of the signs, the indicators emerging from NPHET were that we were going to have what we had planned to do, was the full reopening on October 22nd. Then over the weekend, some serious concerns emerging. NPHET meeting on Monday, NPHET reporting to government late Monday night, cabinet meeting Tuesday morning. So this was a very, very short
time frame.
Don't
forget, this harks back to the very beginning when the reopening started, where you could allow people indoors with a COVID cert. And the bar owners were saying, how come they can go into the hotel bar if they're checked in and there's no checking on them? Anyway, we'll park that one, because I want to talk about MICA. And, that leaked civil service letter suggesting that the amount of compensation that was being sought was off the scale. Richard Boyd Barrett, what do you think should be done? Because, the government can say it wasn't our fault. It was these quarries which have now gone wallop or whatever. It's not us. Many of the houses are one-off, built by people themselves. Why does the state pick up the tab?
I think that, first of all, they should, because this, this is causing absolute untold misery for the families affected by MICA. And I do think the government, successive governments, if you like, but particularly governments during the Celtic Tiger period, were responsible for allowing a regime of light touch or little regulation in the building industry. And the people affected by MICA are victims of that. And I think the state has a responsibility to them, as they had with pyrite, and indeed, as I think they have to many other people who are affected by fire defects, the lack of proper fire insulation in multi-unit apartment complexes in particular. This is a huge issue, and I think it was a failure of government. It was a failure of regulation. There was a deliberate policy of light touch regulation in the building industry, and we're paying a cost for it. And I think the state has a responsibility to those people. How could you pay
for
it? But
is there no end to what the state has to pick up the tab for? I'm very moved by some of the MICA stories that I've heard. I mean, children not being able to sleep at night, worried that the roof might fall in on them. And that's very moving. But where does the state's liability for every misfortune that life throws at you? Where does it end?
Well, I would say the state has a responsibility to those people, but it is absolutely true that the sector, and where I think we could and should raise money to teach the sector a certain lesson, if you like, is the property and building sector. there should be some sort of levy on profits in that sector, where, they, let's be honest, they're doing very well at the moment in the context of, you know, massive inflation of property prices, property values, the building industry.
So in the same way the banks had a bank levy for banking sector's bad behaviour, that the building sector would pay a levy for the their collective bad behaviour, although not all of them, of course, would be guilty. Louise, what's your take on this?
Well, my heart breaks for those families, Pat, to be honest with you, you know, and the I've spoken to many of them. They are ordinary families who, through no fault of their own, you know, they accepted the keys of their house off of the builder. They moved in, they started their families, and these people have done absolutely nothing wrong. The failure was on behalf of the state. The failure was the failure to regulate, or the light touch, or look the other way regulation, or whatever name you want to put on it. But the government had a responsibility, and they let them down. And, you know, you couldn't but be moved to hear the families talk about something as basic as a safe place to live. I mean, you know, that, like that's the thing. And I know I sit at home in my own house, and you think, what would it be like if every time you turned off the TV and your house was silent, or you stopped the conversation and your house was silent, you could hear the sound of the cracks moving up the walls at night? That's no way for people to live. They haven't done anything wrong. I mean, you know, nobody is saying that they have done anything wrong. I think, you know, that the state has a responsibility, because it was a failure by the state to regulate that let these people down.
So finally, Kieran Cannon, the state writes the cheque, you know, €500,000 for someone whose house has to be totally rebuilt. Is that what's going to happen?
Well, Minister O'Brien is bringing a report to Cabinet in the next week to 2 weeks. That's what I'm hearing. That report has done a very comprehensive analysis of all the implications of what might happen. I agree wholeheartedly. This is not alone an opportunity. There's an obligation upon the state to step in here, Pat. That's how a normally functioning society works, I would argue. Where else have these people to turn to other than to the state? All the other players seem to have left the field, and they're now looking to us to support them. And these are families in crisis. These are families where their houses are literally crumbling around them. So the state is the last port of call. And in terms of consistency, Pat, the state stepped in for those who had suffered a similar fate through the Pyrite scandal, and that's what it was, and that's what this is, and the state supported them. That's how any normally functioning society works, and I would argue it needs to work in this instance as well.
Write the cheque. Kieran Cannon, Fine Gael TD for Galway East. Louise O'Reilly, Sinn Féin TD for Dublin Fingal. Richard Boyd Barrett, People Before Profit TD for Dunleary. Thank you all very much for joining us, and I wish you a very happy October weekend.